Today we're reading the third Psalm. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Many of the Psalms are written in times of trouble. Now there is something we are not immune to. Trouble. Everyone has their troubles. Troubles will come to our own door someday. As I speak today, you have a problem, perhaps. It may be known to others. Your difficulty may be a public matter. You have lost a loved one and you are suffering bereavement. Or you are undergoing a severe and serious illness. There are others, however, who suffer privately. There are tears that no one sees, and there are fears which weigh heavily upon the heart which no one understands. Today we are going to enter into the mind and heart of a suffering man, and I pray that these words will be a help and a blessing to you. We'll think about David's problem. David's difficulty was a family matter. Many of our concerns are family matters. Isn't that right? The title of the psalm informs us that it was written when he fled from Absalom, his son. That was David's sorest trial in all of his long years as king. His son Absalom managed to win the hearts of the men of Israel. Eventually, he seized the crown and forced his father to flee with his most loyal servants. In the opening verse, he complains of his terrible predicament. Those who were with Absalom were increasing all the time. How are they increased that trouble me, he declared. No one would have given him any hope. There is no help for him in God, they said. As far as the commentator and onlooker was concerned, the cause was lost. David was overthrown by his son. Perhaps your troubles are such that you feel there is no future. All is blackness around you. You're in a cul-de-sac. There appears to be no way out. There is no solution to the problem. There is no help. Is that how you feel? Many of our problems render us helpless. There is a difficulty, however, that is greater and more intense than any other. That is our sin. It is the innate wickedness with which we were born which renders us guilty before God. There is nothing that we can do which can eradicate our sinfulness. This is the greatest of all problems. And it is a serious difficulty. Let's also think about David's protection. David, however, in all of his adversity, was deeply conscious that there was one who could help him, where other help was bound to fail. The one upon whom he could rely was God. He described God as his shield, a most appropriate metaphor for a man who was at war. God would provide his servant with protection. He was cast down, but God would lift up his head. He had lost his glory, his crown, his throne, his honor. Yet he was aware that God remained his glory. David had lost much, but he had not lost God. Many friends had turned against him, but his greatest and most powerful ally continued to be at his side. Therefore, although the odds were stacked against him, David was hopeful because he had the Lord. Take the Lord out of life's equation, and there is no hope. Insert the Lord into life, and the world will suddenly take on a new meaning. Have you this confidence that God is with you today? We'll also think about David's prayer. Because David knew that God was his protection, he had the faith to pray. He describes himself as crying unto the Lord with his voice. This reminds us so much of that wonderful hymn. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Whatever your sorrow, your burden, your trial is, you can cry unto the Lord with your voice and he will hear you. This was what David experienced. The Lord heard him out of his holy hill. He never turns away the one who seeks him. For those burdened and troubled by their sin, there is particular comfort. You can come to God for forgiveness. If you confess your sin and ask him for mercy, you will become a Christian instantly. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. I also want to talk to you about David's peace. The peace that David here experienced in a time of personal betrayal is most remarkable. We would be justified in describing this peace as a miracle. He put his head upon the pillow and he awoke in the morning knowing that the Lord had preserved him. There are so many who are so overwrought with fear that they cannot sleep. As they cannot sleep, there is no escape from their difficulties. There may be one listening and you are so distressed that there is no sleep. You toss and turn till morning light. How can a man or a woman be filled with such peace that sleeping is no problem? Such a sense of calm is unnatural. This is emphasized by David's admission that he would not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against him round about. This is beyond logic. If surrounded by an army of bloodthirsty warriors, the stoutest of hearts would tremble. Yet David did not fear. You see, David knew that this serenity was God-given. The Apostle Paul wrote of this calm to the Philippians. Be careful for nothing, he said, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Be careful for nothing, he said, but in everything by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. This peace that is beyond all understanding is linked to prayer. As we pray, as we unburden our hearts, we will gain peace, a peace that defies all human logic. Indeed, Christ himself spoke of this very thing. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Martin Luther, the great church reformer, was one who discovered this peace. When he appeared before the church council at Worms, many of his friends feared for his life because the church hierarchy believed his teachings to be heresy, and in those days heretics were burned. Yet Luther felt it was so important that he'd go to argue his case, to confess his faith before men. He was willing to risk his life. As he approached the city, he received a message from a friend. Do not enter Worms. Luther sent a short message in reply. Tell your master, he said to the messenger, that even if there are as many devils in Worms as tiles in the rooftops, still I will enter it. At the subsequent council, when examined, he would declare, unless I am persuaded by the word of Scripture and sound reasoning, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand, I can do none other. God help me. Amen. Where did such courage come from? It was surely a gift from God to his servant. Peace for many is an elusive myth. For others it is a temporary illusion. But for the Christian it becomes absolute reality. I appeal to you today, seek Christ, the giver of peace, in this turbulent world. Finally, I want to share with you David's promise. This short but inspiring poem continues with a note of optimism. At the beginning, he was somewhat pessimistic. There was no hope. So many had forsaken him. What could he do? But as his faith was refocused, he was able to conclude with a note of triumph. He even begins writing of victory as if it had already happened. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. This is the first psalm where the word Selah occurs. The word signifies a pause. It is a time to stop and reflect. The first Selah occurs at the end of verse 2,